Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Refractive Thinker Radio Show, hosted by the award-winning and international best-selling author, Dr. Cheryl Lentz, the academic entrepreneur. Meet the scholars of the award-winning doctoral anthology series, The Refractive Thinker, where we focus on getting doctoral research off the coffee table and into the hands of business owners who can benefit from the results. Join us each Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time for 30 minutes of thought-provoking radio designed to discuss emerging topics in higher education and business. We will meet today's industry thought leaders and college professors leading the way. Details can be found at www.refractivethinker.com. Now, here's your host, Dr. Cheryl Lentz.
Good morning, everybody. This is Dr. Cheryl Lentz, and happy Tuesday morning live from Albuquerque, New Mexico. We are thrilled to have you with us. My name is Dr. Cheryl Lentz. I am known as the academic entrepreneur, and we certainly have an interesting topic for you today. As I mentioned, in many of our opportunities that we have, is I tend to keep my ear to the ground regarding what's going on in people's minds, and I have heard something that has gone on this week that bears discussing, and it's the idea of chameleons. The benefits of change management. So I want to be able to offer the ability to look at how do we define the ability to change to fit our environments. If we look at the concepts of leadership, situational leadership in particular, we really only have two options. We can either change our leadership style to fit the situation, or we can change the situation to fit our leadership style. These are the idea of Hershey and Blanchard's situational leadership and contingency leadership. The question is, there are far too many dictators in leadership. Instead of asking, they're telling. Somehow they have it in their mind that because they were promoted and they are the boss, and suddenly other people work for them. I don't buy that. I look at the idea of servant leadership, that we are here to serve others, not be served by them. So as long as we have been promoted by at least one other person, we've lost the right to think only of ourselves. And the ability to look at the situation regarding the benefits of how we change others, how we ask others, how we integrate others, how we include others, is a very different philosophy and perspective than the telling of management. Note, I didn't use the word leadership. So the idea of the title for today is, are you a chameleon? And the benefits of change management if you are. As I mentioned when we started this, is we're looking at the opportunity of what can we really do with regard to helping motivate others, helping to transition, particularly with change. Oftentimes, we cannot control the behavior of others. We can only control ourselves or our reaction to ourselves. And I'm not suggesting that you are not human. I am not suggesting that you ignore your emotions. I am certainly not suggesting you become a cold fish, as others have characterized some people, and become non-emotional. Emotions are part of the human condition. It's the question of how we manage and use emotions, i.e., the idea, are you a chameleon? A chameleon has the ability to adapt to their environment, to change color to their environment, to become almost invisible to the environment. To me, the chameleon is truly the art of servant leadership. Why? Chameleon is to blend in, not stand out. The chameleon has the ability to look at different colors, a camouflage tool, if you will, to be able to thwart predators. Mother Nature is an amazing teacher when it comes to the ability to, what do we do when we have the ability that we need to hide and that we have predators in our world? It's unrealistic that we will get along with everybody. It's certainly unrealistic that everyone will get along with us. But those who have the ability to be flexible, to be adaptable, to blend in, particularly as a leader. You've heard me say many times, the idea of leadership is the ability to move a follower from being codependent to interdependent to being independent. The idea is to train our followers, train our children, train our students, to not need us anymore, to be self-sufficient, to stand on their own, to be independent. Teaching them how to be a chameleon is one of those amazing skills that will serve them well. It's not always easy to change the situation, particularly in the threat of crisis, in the midst of crisis, and the ability to help people toward and through things you may not quite understand. Remember, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. I received some amazing phone calls from people this week that have been wonderfully helpful to be able to just call to say hi. Wow, these are strangers essentially, or at least initially, that I met through our marketing programs on LinkedIn. And they love what I was able to tell them and to resonate with them regarding publishing, regarding the refractive thinker, regarding the art of thinking. And that's essentially what I'm trying to offer you here, is the ability to be flexible, be adaptable, to serve others, to meet others at their level of need. Instead, many will go into the bull in the china shop. They will tell others exactly the way it's going to be, their way or the highway, very dictatorial, very authoritarian, and they wonder why they have such a high turnover rate. People want to be around people they like, they admire, they respect, they trust. They want to be able to help serve others, to be in the background, a little cliche, but the wing beneath someone else's wings. I'm not here to take credit for the wonderful accomplishments of my students, of my clients, of my authors. I'm here to facilitate them. I'm the one that's smiling in the corner when I see them on stage and getting an award. I'm here when they make tenure at their universities. I'm here when they publish a bestseller. I'm hoping that skills that we worked towards, that we worked with, that I was able to work as both coach and mentor, sometimes priest and rabbi, to be able to help them through the difficult parts in their life. Why? It's far easier following someone's footsteps than to blaze a trail. And when we can learn through others the art of being a chameleon, the art of being able to adapt to what is going on that we couldn't possibly foresee or anticipate. The idea of being zen, going with the flow. Now, that doesn't mean going with the flow means that you lack control. It simply means that there's a little different perspective of what control means. We can't control what other people do. We can only control what our reaction is to what they can do. We can only invite them to think perhaps of another path through. Think of the difference when we're going to go in and say, Mary, this is what you're going to do today. And you're going to do it this way, you're going to do it my way, and if not, you're not going to get my approval, you're not going to get that promotion. But is there really only one way? I'm not clear that there is, for many things other than maybe math, where 4 plus 4 equals 8, that there's only one right way. There are many right ways. There are many effective ways. There are many productive ways. Experience and wisdom teaches us the ability to look at what might have the highest probability of success, but there's no guarantee of success. But if you're a chameleon and you understand the benefits of change, the benefits of change management, the human condition, the ability to understand what is happening to others, and that's what I think the benefit of education has been to me. I look at the theories like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It helps to explain why people might not be focused on their work if there's a crisis at home, if they have to move, if their security is threatened, if they're getting a divorce, if they have cancer, if a child is ill or a child is seriously ill, there's been a death in the family, the death of a loved one, the death of a pet. It's difficult when your thinking becomes fragmented, your thinking becomes laden with emotions. Again, I'm not expecting people not to be emotional, not to demonstrate emotionality, but I am expecting that they'll learn how to cope, that they'll learn how to professionally manage their emotions. Some people, you don't need to share every thought you have just because you have it. You have to have these filters in mind to know when to share it, when it's appropriate, when it isn't appropriate, and maybe to take some time off, to take some time to think. I used to think that the time out was for the child. I'm now of the opinion the time honors for both the child and the parent. My dad always used to tell us bad news twice. Because the first time I'm going to react as as any human would. You did what to the car? And I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be emotional. I'm going to send you to your room, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm going to choose to react as your father. That element of choice, that ability to, let's think about this for a minute. How do I want to behave? Sometimes, particularly when we're raw, we're emotional, a bad grade at the office, a bad grade at school, you got in a whole car accident, you didn't get that promotion, something didn't go your way, you might be a little emotional. The question is, how do you react to it? How do you build on it? Because the idea is, remember, you've heard me say this before, we can take a horse to water, but we can't make them drink. But our job is to invite their thirst. Give them a reason to contact you. Give them a reason to change their behavior. Give them an idea of how might the behavior be to their advantage instead of simply exploding. It's taken me years to try and manage my emotions. It's not easy, nor am I perfect at it. I'm better than I have been. But it's the idea of learning to be that chameleon, change to advance my environment, learning to have an opportunity to change the mind of someone else, to maybe lead by example, to give them the opportunity that maybe they just might have a different way around the mulberry bush. Maybe you could show them something they hadn't considered before. Maybe you might give them an idea of how they might go forward with minimizing some of the things, the angst, the worry, the fear. It's difficult when we try to do things all on our own. But we don't have to. That's, again, the benefit of a coach. The idea of how can we offer a different way through? How can we give you a different tool to use? Remember, we've talked about the idea of the carpenter, the use of the most effective tool for the most effective outcome. Sure, you can always use a shoe or a screwdriver or something else hard to get the nail into the wall, but a hammer was what was designed to do that job. And remember, our goal isn't to buy a hammer. We don't want to own a hammer any more than we want to grow a screwdriver. We want to be able to offer the ability to have the outcome of what that tool can do. I want the hole that's in the wall. I want the nail that's in the wall. I don't want the hammer, the screwdriver. But the tools are a means to an end. But we have to look at the most effective tool. That's why I'm not a fan of right or wrong, black or white. We define thinking here as thinking is inside the box, critical thinking is outside the box. And that's for many faculty, many teachers, many managers, many leaders. Stop. I look at the idea of what lies beyond the box. What if it isn't a box at all, or even yet? Refractive thinking is the idea of light through a prism when it refracts in a multitude of amazing ways, giving us options. Instead of asking why, you ask why not. What else? What are the possibilities that we could consider? We've talked about the idea of opportunity cost. What is the cost of doing what we were thinking of doing, not doing something at all, or maybe considering a different way forward? That's what you can offer as a coach or a mentor. Remember, the difference between a coach and a mentor is a coach knows the rules. You don't have to have played t-ball to know how to teach five-year-olds how to hit a ball off a tee. But a mentor, that's something completely different. A mentor is the ability to have been there before. And I'm not above or below anyone else. I'm simply ahead of my doctoral students because I have the doctor title that they are working towards. I know a little bit more than they do. Because I have been there. I have accomplished this. I've also graduated more than 30 students. And I just had one earn their wings over the other day. And it's amazing when you look at the end of a very tough journey, that smile of self-accomplishment. It didn't come from stoic behavior. It came from moving with the river. It came from being a chameleon, of being willing to entertain possibilities from others, particularly in the doctoral path. There are lots and lots and lots and lots of levels of review, and often this makes a lot of my students nervous, antsy, upset, emotional, particularly my engineers, particularly those with a very black and white countenance. They like to be able to work on something once in a linear fashion, start at the beginning and get to the end. Dissertation doesn't work like that. dissertation moves through the opportunity of a circular fashion, of adjusting things like a tailor might. Nip here, tuck there. If you do a little piece over here, you got to adjust the piece over there because the alignment's perfect. It has to be perfect. And so there are the benefits as we change, as we move forward, as we edit, as we adjust, as we think there might be improvements, whether it's ourselves, our writing, our situation. Remember, we can only control ourselves, and by being adaptable, by having the ability to change, by having the ability to be patient, to be open to learning, to ask the question of what might lie beyond the box. How can you go forward through that? Being stoic is not always easier. Having to be right in all situations, trust me, as a recovering perfectionist, it doesn't work. When you hold on too tight, you often limit your success, not forward it. I was on the phone with Dave, or on my radio spot with Daybreak, where the NGM, every 2 weeks I'm a guest on their show. And it was amazing, we were talking about the subconscious mind. That programming ever since we were children, that programming of culture in the place where we work, that program we have in our families. We have to reprogram ourselves for success. We have to reprogram the ability to look at things a little way, a little differently, new way. Maybe somebody else has a better way of going forward than our way. Think of somebody who's going as a bull in a china shop. Yes, they can go through that china shop, but they're going to break an awful lot getting there. What if we might have that leadership come softly approach? What if we might take a step back and have a softer moment, fade into the background, blend in so that we can be the wing beneath someone else's wing? That servant leadership, that ability to support others without expecting credit, without even needing to have our name acknowledged at all. The benefits of change is for others to have that confidence that they can do it. They might just need a little push. They might need a little tuck here, a little tweak there, a little tailor there. We all have issues that we're working on. Very few people are perfect, not even Mother Teresa, not even Gandhi, not even Nelson Mandela. They are just willing to step out there. They're willing to be able to put their passion on the line and commit to something. But they have had to change. They have had to be that chameleon. They've had to adjust to things when they don't go their way. They've had to change a color, change their, or maybe just stand by and just let it be. One of my favorite books is The Guide to Contrarian Leadership by Dr. Sample, where he has the concept of thinking gray. Suspend all judgment before you ever even make a decision. Can you simply just be? Be in the situation. Be in the moment. Look around you. Observe. And then perhaps make a decision. We are often so quick to judge, so quick to have that next, what we're going to say. It's not an easy skill to master. I still struggle with it when I want to be able to. Let's not hang on too tight. Let's not be in reactive mode. Let's not be a firefighter and having to put out fires and everything we do becomes from crisis to crisis to crisis. Dare we have fun in what we do in our jobs? Dare we have fun to take a few moments to smell the roses? Take a few moments to just be, to celebrate where we are, to observe, to note. The odds of a teacher, or the goal of a teacher, is really just to help you see what's already there. But when you're moving too fast, you often don't see it. I know many of my students, they take such rush when they write their papers. They take such rush to check the box and turn something in because they want to get something. Very few of my students have the art of, how do I enjoy what I'm talking about? How do I take the time to really internalize that idea of learning? Many of my students, when they meet me, they consider a different opportunity. They contemplate their thoughts of what they once held and what they once believed. And I'm not here to tell a student what to think. My point is to introduce new strategies on how to think, to consider new opportunities, even those I don't personally agree with. That's not my job. My job is to present them, to consider them, to analyze them, to contemplate them. But being a chameleon gives us the ability to change our environment, the ability to fail, the ability to succeed, the ability to change something in our world that we might not be terribly excited about. And if it didn't work out, we change something new. Remember my goal, fail faster, succeed sooner. Have the ability to look at what might be. Sometimes things don't work out. I had a mentor of mine tell me, Cheryl, you learn so much more from failure than you ever do from success. But failure's tough. Failure makes us raw, makes us vulnerable, makes us mad, makes us angry. For some of us, we kind of smile when we fail. To be able to say, wow, isn't this exciting? What did I learn today? What is coming around the corner? How are things going to change for me? And that's an amazing, amazing opportunity. But it's not always easy. I don't like to fail. There was a time in my life that I was a perfectionist. I was valedictorian. I was thou shalt not fail. Failure is not an option. But as I learned to embrace change, failure became the only option. I had to become a chameleon or run the risk of getting left behind. Think of that stone that's in a river. Hundreds and thousands and millions of gallons of water roll over that stone. You can never step in the same river twice. It's never the same. But in order to get smooth, that water has to run over you. It has to run around you. It has to shape you. It has to mold you. But we have to let it. How many of us are rocks on the sidelines? In a safe place, we only get a little bit of the water. So it's going to take us a lot longer to change. Change is scary. Even when things are not going well for us, it's easier to change in what we know and to embrace what might be. That's that pre-programming that Napoleon Hill is talking about, that ability to get into your subconscious mind and just say, you know what, it's okay that I failed this morning. It's okay that I didn't do this. And you know what, I don't walk on water, not even if it's ice. I'm not perfect. And I do a lot of amazing things with my students and my clients and my authors and my friends. To be able to lead by example. And sometimes I'm not as graceful or as eloquent as I might like to be. I can tell you a lot of the advice I have to often tell myself is to not let it ruin my day. Not let something upset me, but to embrace it. And it is so darn hard to be able to smile in the face of adversity, particularly when everything seems to be going around. I am dealing with some tech issues right now that I'm trying to laugh through, although sometimes I feel more like crying, truth be told. But it's frustrating because we'd like things to work out. We'd like things to be successful. But that's not where the learning happens. The learning happens when I tell my students to honor the struggle, to know that anything's easy once you know how, but it's a journey in getting to the how, getting to the point of mastery, the point of understanding, the point of brilliance, the point of patience, the point of knowing that someday you'll get this. But how many of us do want to give up? Oh, I wanted to give up this morning. It was not a pleasant situation I was dealing with. And I had to take a deep breath and realize this too shall pass. This failure is instructive. Someday I will have the ability to master this skill. This isn't easy for me at the moment. And as a college professor, let me tell you how humbling it is. When I'm used to mastering things very, very quickly, very, very easily. But I think the universe is offering me a very humbling moment to be able to, when the teacher is when the student is ready, the teacher appears. I don't wish you smooth sailing. I wish you understanding of the rough seas you're in. It's not easy to go through rough seas, but unless you're out of your comfort zone, we are not learning. Unless we are really stretching ourselves, we're not moving beyond capacity. We're playing it safe. I'd like to say that I'm not a safe player, but I'm not the other opposite extremes of complete risk taker either. I'm somewhere usually in the middle, but I'm willing to take some calculated risk, but I'd like to learn to take more. Those who win are those who are willing to put it all on the line, and quite frankly, I'm not willing to put it all on the line quite yet. But I've put a great deal of it on the line. And what I'd like to remember is that poise and purpose, that grace under pressure, that ability to be that chameleon, to be that calm in the storm that just simply adapts to it. I love that tank commercial. I think it might be Sherman Williams when you have the two chameleons, and they're just jumping around between paint samples, and they're shifting color as they simply talk. You know, they touch the new paint can, and their body just shifts color, and I think that's so amazing. Mother Nature can be an amazing teacher when she offers us such lessons from geese, lessons from the chameleon. How do we move forward in embracing those lessons and seeing what's already there? Mother Nature has taught us all types of things. The question is, are we listening? Do we pay attention? Do we understand? Some of learning is actually eloquent, and we go by through life so fast, so incredibly fast, that we miss it. In the blink of an eye, it's gone. Instead of taking the time to internalize it. And trust me, I am not a fan of fear. I'm not a fan of failure. I hate the anxiety, that pit in the middle of your stomach that just will gnaw at you. We can learn to love that part of us, embrace that part of us, laugh at that part of us, and realize there's a purpose for that part of us. The ability for us to understand wisdom, to understand how that rock gets smoothed with those millions of gallons of water that rush over it every year, every time it passes. To put yourself in that situation takes courage. Many of my students avoid conflict, run the other way from conflict, try and put conflict under the rug as often as possible because they want to play it safe. Nobody likes conflict, at least very few people, unless you're a professional negotiator. Nobody really enjoys that. The ability is to learn from it and to learn the art of the chameleon, the art of the compromise, the art of how do you move forward. You may have to let go of something. People who tend to hang on too tight tend to lose it all. Those of us who realize the attachment to things, the attachment to money, the attachment to certain areas of our life may not be productive for us. There are a lot of benefits of change, and learning skills of change management can help us be an effective chameleon. Simply one tool in the toolbox. But my goal, as I hope it is for you, is to embrace the lessons of the chameleon. The ability to know when to step in, when to step out, when to step on, when to move forward. Sometimes you just need to stand still in the river for a little while. The water surrounds you and just be. Learn to shape and move with the current. We might surprise ourselves. There's oftentimes what the universe may have in store, what Mother Nature may be willing to teach us if we're only willing to get out of our own space and let Mother Nature embrace us, surround us, protect us, and teach us and guide us. I hope you'll join with me this week as we begin a new month with November 1st to embrace the lessons of the chameleon, to really dig deep and to put our hand on that paint can like in the commercial and just let the color wash over us. Let us blend in into our environment. We don't always have to be the drum major. We don't always have to be in the marching band. Sometimes leadership comes softly. So are you a chameleon? What will you work on this week as you look at those around? I'll bet there's some chameleons in your midst and you never knew how flexible, how adaptable, how happier most of them may be. They don't wrap themselves around the axle. They don't get too excited. They don't get too upset. They always make sure that they're just where they need to be. And to allow the lessons of Mother Nature to help them as they move toward success. Remember, anything's easy once you know how. Life is the journey, not the destination. And there is always, always success one more time than you get knocked down. So thank you for joining us this week. I'm Dr. Cheryl Lentz, the academic entrepreneur. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio. We're so thrilled to have you join us each and every week at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Until next week, keep thinking your way to success. Have a wonderful week. Bye now.